Radio Cavalè, your anarchist radio.
Hello, and welcome to Radio Cavalè.
Welcome.
So I'm Santeria, and today we have a new co-host.
Hello, my name is Achilles Punks.
Hey, Achilles Punks, how are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
Cool, welcome to Radio Cavalè.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We're like psyched to have a new host and things, that's wicked. So as always, we have a super jam-packed show. We're going to have lots of wicked music, news and updates from around the world and the UK and locally and things as well. We're going to have an interview about the Badger Cull. We're going to talk about the plight of some Belarusian anarchists as well. Great, so it should be wicked. And then at the end, oh yeah, we're going to wrap up with some upcoming events, of course, so get your diaries ready. So the first song we're going to go to is The Coup, My Favourite Mutiny. And I think you might find in Radio Cavalè, we play The Coup quite often, or, you know, they're one of our most played bands, but, you know, it's because they're way cool. And, conveniently, they're also coming to Bristol October 27th, I believe, so check it out. Cool. So here's The Coup.
Your just desserts, it's not just the words. Some of y'all heads up in the cloud, I'ma bring y'all back to earth. It's black back to burn, bullshit y'all talking about. Out your mouth, I'm not concerned, cause y'all got to learn. It's y'all turned like Detroit Red, when his head had an ultra perm. The long walk I burn, your bare heels soaked the worn your boots. The game camouflage like army suits, but I can see it more clear cause I came with the coupe in here. Ring the alarm, inform the troops, send them out into the world, go to war on the flu. Eye to eye with the enemy you sworn to shoot. Now I'm coming at your neck, sick of hearing something wrong with me. Motherfucker, something wrong with you. When the cheek just way too smart to question. The enemy, the brothers of a dark complexion. The governments of the world, the shark infested. They heavy on weaponry like Sharpton Heston, man. Look, it gets low, man. Low, now I'm talking about. Get it.
To the pigs is my basic statement. I spit street stories till I taste the pavement. Trying to stay out the pen where we face enslavement. Had a foolproof hustle till they traced the payments. I was gripping my palm around some shitty rum. Trying to find Psalm number 151. To forget what I'm owed as I clutch the Komodo red. Put down the bottle and come get the gun. Let's get off the chain like Kunta Kinte with a Mac-10. That one was gone like a dollar in a crack den. Steadily subtracting seeds and stems. Mind cloudy through the wheeze and phlegm. Numbing my brain off of that and the Jesus hymns. If we waiting for the time to fight these is them, telling us to relax while they ease it in. We're getting greased again. The truth I write is so cold it'll freeze my pen. I boots Riley, it's a pleasure to meet you. Never let they punk ass ever defeat you. They got us on the corner wearing pleather and see-through. All y'all's gold mines, they wanna deplete you. I ain't just finna rap on the track, I'm finna clap on the back. And it's been stacking it at 500 years before Iceberg ever leaned back in the lack. Before they told Rosa Black in the back. Before the CIA told Ricky Ross to put crack in the sack. And Gil Scott traded rapping for smack. This beat alone should get platinum. And plaques. I'd rather see a million of us ecstatic to scrap. Cause if we bapping them back, we automatically stack. Check it out.
Like chewing C, reboots me, activating the community. Up in the bay like Huey P. They suck a free, it remind me of the BK. His love for me, but the beast got it twisted, I'll untangle it. Black mind intertwined like the ropes they used to hang us with. This my favorite shit. I came in the game with a new way to spit. Got your questionnaire, who you banging with? Take it back to M-Hotep. Go a step deeper like a poor righteous teacher with holy intellect. Killer flow for all my real niggas left. But then for the failure to jig a boo that has been a death. Once again, you can feel hip-hop. Underground, still about my guap. Gangsta like fuck the cops. Tell him Kweli, revolutionary MC. And that ain't about to stop.
was Wicked, The Coup. Okay, so now we're going to go to the news updates and things as well. So, from Schmooze, they say... They say, Bexhill Camp oppose £120 million disaster project. What is it with the Tories and roads? And I would also... The 90s resulted in the abandonment of the flagship road plans under a wave of negative publicity and the birth of a concentrated direct action movement which fought the establishment till the bitter end. Fast forward 20 years and the fight is back on. Get ready. Last weekend, September 29th and 30th, well, maybe not last weekend now, but campaigners pledging to resist the first and most destructive of the new roads programs in Bexhill set up camp. Around 200 protesters descended on one of the most tranquil, beautiful, and now endangered tracts of land in the southeast, the Coombe Haven Valley. Veteran protesters from the M11, Twyford, and Newbury campaigns, mixed with Friends of the Earth, CPRE supporters, anti-badger collectivists, and redundant occupiers, and those opposing the squat ban. So check it out and keep your eyes peeled for what's going to go on with that, because it seems like it's going to be busier and busier.
Also from Schnews, on the evening of Sunday the 30th of September, anti-fascists clashed with police during an anti-fascist patrol, which resulted in 15 people injured and 23 arrested. Around 9 p.m, the Easy Riders crossed paths with far-right members of Golden Dawn in the Athens neighbourhood of Agios Pantelimios. Is that right?
I think they're always hard to pronounce those names.
Unsurprisingly, a heated political debate ensued with two fascists requiring hospital treatment as their orator skills were found lacking. The Greek mainstream media reports residents being present during the incident and one local producing a gun but not using it. Afterwards, the anti-fascist motor division was followed and ambushed by Greek police motorcycle units. On the 2nd, which was on a Monday, an anti-fascist demonstration was called for outside the courthouse. Around 300 people attended the solidarity demo. As the anti-fascists exited the courthouse to be escorted back to the police, vehicles and driven to the cells, the police attacked the demo, dispersing those gathered to the nearby streets. This led to another 20 people being detained with 4 arrests who were promptly taken to court the next day. The anti-fascist motorbike chapter has come about in response to the relentless attack by fascist groups on foreign minorities. Last month there were several reports posted on Athens indie media of anti-fascist patrols burning rubber on Athenian streets. These patrols have mirrored the increase of racist attacks in Athens and across Greece in general.
Schnews goes on to tell us about the fight for the sites. The Department for Communities and Local Government received a visit last week by members of the travelling community and were handed a 28-day notice to leave their London base. The department have until 1 p.m. on October 19th to vacate their building near Victoria Station. The eviction proceedings were in response to the behaviour of the government department, which has been a little less than welcoming to the traveller community, to say the least. The department, led by Eric Pickles, who's in a bit of a pickle, the Secretary of State for Communities and Local Government, is responsible for the Localism Bill of 2011. The Act supposedly devolves power to local authorities through the, though in reality only the richer areas and those who adhere to the tough Tory measures see any real benefit, leaving those poorer, struggling communities out on a limb. Unsurprisingly, the Act is also designed to attack traveller communities, restricting planning permission and allowing NIMBYs to vote them out of the area. Meanwhile, the Advertising Standards Authority have decided that the offensive billboards campaign for My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding was quote-unquote irresponsible, offensive, reaffirmed negative stereotypes and prejudice against traveller and gypsy communities. Channel 4 have consistently denied any exploitative element in its adverts, but an email by Pablo Gonzalez de la Pena, indeed a pain, an art director with Channel 4, reveals the opposite. It was said that he wants to see photographs with a dirty kiss between a couple with the tongue, a toilet, ideally an outdoor one, where we can see the tail of a wedding dress coming out from it, like a bride has just used it, and a very young girl pretending to be a bride. He also suggested in the email that the photos should be staged if necessary. Just do what it takes, he said, to get the shot.
Okay, we have here a written communique from the 325 website, and this is how it reads. Greece take down junta's websites. On the 9th of October, to coincide with the visit to Athens by the so-called leader of Germany, Angela Merkel, we took part in a coordinated international cyber operation with our comrades from many different factions of Anonymous.
They took down various websites, including the National Police Force of Greece, the Greek Minister for Foreign Affairs, the Greek Ministry of Civil Protection and Public Order, and the website of the so-called Greek President.
This was done in solidarity with Conspiracy Cells to Fire and Revolutionary Struggles and anti-sec hacker Jeremy Hammond.
This is a statement or communique that we found also on the 325 website. We the Gremlins, are squatting Gremlin Alley City in City Road in Cardiff, formerly known as the Spin Bowling Alley. I'm going to pronounce this badly, sorry. Giti Cinema and Bingo Hall. They say that on the 4th of October, we successfully resisted an eviction from bailiffs and harassment from the police who attended for most of the day from 10 a.m. Banners including "We are resisting eviction." Fuck the fucking fuckers. Solidarity to Alex Hay, in prison for 3 months for being homeless. They go on to say, solidarity to comrade Alex Hay, a fellow squatter and Cuts Cafe crew in London who were evicted by the TSG Tactical Support Group last night, so that'd be the 3rd of October. And they finish off with a bunch of fuck-offs to a bunch of people, including bailiffs, cops, the state, Section 5, and a big love and rage to everybody else.
Sticking with 325, there's been a call-out for John Bowden, Day of Action, on October the 19th. Sorry. The only sure tactic when prisoners resist and fight back is solidarity. That is a quote from John Bowden himself. John Bowden has been imprisoned for more than 30 years for the drunken killing of someone who pulled a knife on him at a party. While John's two co-defendants were released more than 20 years ago, John remains a high-security prison despite the parole board's recommendations that he be prepared for release. John has been at the forefront of the prison struggle throughout most of his time inside and has quickly developed a political consciousness and a deep understanding of the role of prison in society, as well as a tactical understanding of the power relations between the captured and their captors. Also, through his time inside, John has been punished for his role as a prison militant and organiser and for exposing the barbarity and inhumanity of prison through his writing. The system and vengeful screws that its foot soldiers have constantly tried to break John, viciously brutalising him and subjecting him to the most inhumane conditions. Even today, they are prepared to flagrantly ignore the recommendations of the parole board that he be moved to open conditions, prepared for release. John is constantly having to put up with provocations and dirty tricks from his captors, while they do everything they can to prolong his incarceration.
From Bristol Indie Media, join the TUC's A Future That Works demonstration and so this is posted by the Bristol Anti-Cuts Alliance on Indie Media, Bristol Indie Media, and they plan to ensure that as many people as possible from Bristol get to the TUC's demonstration in London on Saturday, October 20th. Many unions have arranged coaches from Bristol and the surrounding area, and details can be found on Batica's website. And also in another post that I thought was a little bit, more, not quite haiku, but slightly more poetic and things about it. So it's another post from Bristol Indie Media entitled Tory Thugs, summed up the sentiment a bit differently, but saying that a right to shoot burglars, £10 billion of extra benefit cuts, disability living allowance cuts, 3 food banks opening every week, every day 625 public sector jobs disappear, give up job rights, just some of the reasons to fight back against the Tory thugs. I thought that sort of summed up a bit better what was going on.
Okay, from Democracy Now, we have news of US drone strikes that have killed 16 people in Pakistan. US drone strikes killed at least 16 people in a tribal area of northwestern Pakistan on Thursday and wounded a dozen others. Anonymous officials said that the targets were militants at a compound and also in related news from Pakistan. The shooting of 14-year-old Malala Yousafzai, who campaigned for the right for education to an education, has been denounced worldwide and by the Pakistani authorities, who have offered a reward of more than $100,000 for the capture of her attackers. The health condition of Malala continues to remain unsatisfactory. Her vitals are okay and she's still on the ventilator, the military said in an update.
Yeah, because apparently quite a few people are, it's been quite a big case what's going on with her and things, because the Taliban shot her basically because she was a child activist, a young woman, yeah, being active for rights for education for women, which, you know, while there's problems with the traditional school system, I think it's much better that young women have access to education. But it's, people have been really monitoring her case quite closely, and it's been a massive outcry around this and things. I think it's, yeah.
Yeah.
So our thoughts are with her. So from Democracy Now, U.S. Border Patrol agent opens fire, killing a Mexican teenager. So a U.S. Border Patrol agent opened fire on people throwing rocks from the Mexican side of the border, apparently killing a teenage boy. 16-year-old Jose Antonio Elena Rodriguez was found dead from gunshot wounds, according to Mexican authorities. Border Patrol say they were responding to reports about smuggling when they saw two people abandon the amount of drugs and flee across the border back into Mexico Wednesday night. So that'd be last week. Maybe they also didn't speak English, who knows. But also on a related note from the Calais Migrant Solidarity website, as reported on October 11th, in the afternoon, three vans from the CRS Compagnie 53 were roaming the streets and making many arrests in town during an ID control of new arrivals from North Africa, including four women. CRS, which is the police, I believe, surrounded the group, pushed them against a wall in the main street, and whilst making humiliating comments like, "Oh, look, they are cold," also joking and laughing because they couldn't understand French before arresting them all. And also another squat was just closed last night, so that would be October 10th.
Okay, some more news from Democracy Now! This time it's from across the pond in the United States. Romney: Americans don't die from lack of health insurance. Obviously, the challenger to Obama, Mitt Romney, is facing criticism over his remarks on Thursday that uninsured Americans are able to have their health care paid for if they simply go to the hospital. Romney told the Columbus Dispatch newspaper, "People don't die from lack of insurance," saying, "No, you go to the hospital, you get treated, you get care, and it's paid for, either by charity, the government, or by hospital. We don't have people that become ill who die in their apartment because they don't have insurance." Well, in fact, a 2009 study made by researchers at Harvard Medical School found that 45,000 people die in the United States each year due to largely a lack of health insurance and inability to access quality care. That comes out of one death in every 12 seconds.
Okay, and a little bit more from Democracy Now! So in Guatemala, nine soldiers were detained for a protest shooting. Prosecutors in Guatemala say they have detained nine members of the military accused of killing peaceful protesters last week. Eight people were killed and 34 wounded after military opened fire on a group of mostly indigenous Guatemalans who blocked a highway to protest education policy, constitutional amendments, and massive rise in utility costs. According to the Attorney General's office, it is the first time members of the military have been prosecuted for abuses committed during the protest since the end of the of Guatemala's dirty war in 1996.
We have yet another piece from Democracy Now! This one's regarding an Oregon activist who's been jailed for refusing to testify before a grand jury. Leah Lynn Plant, who has been quoted here, "I view the state repression like this. The state thinks it can black hole that can destroy whatever it wants. In reality, it is much more like a stellar nursery wherein it unintentionally creates new strong anarchist stars. I do not look forward to what inevitably waits me today, but I accept it. I ask the people to continue to support us through this process by writing us letters, sending us books, donating and spreading awareness. My convictions are unwavering, and I will quote. You can find more information about their cases on nopoliticalrepression.wordpress.com.
Yeah, grand juries, eh? They've been a consistent problem for sort of witch hunts for activists in the United States for quite a while, so it's an ongoing
problem.
Probably
for quite a long time, actually, to be fair.
So. Yeah, indeed. Okay, so one last one from Democracy Now! Last Wednesday, Walmart workers have launched a historic labor protest and strike across 28 stores in 12 states, the first retail workers' strike in the company's 50-year history. Woohoo, finally. According to organizers, employees are protesting the company's attempt to silence and retaliate against workers for speaking out for improvements on the job.
Okay, this is from The Guardian, and this was last Tuesday, or was it Tuesday 2 weeks ago now?
Last Tuesday.
Okay. This is from The Guardian last Tuesday. 15 anti-fascist protesters were arrested in Athens during a clash with supporters of the neo-Nazi party Golden Dawn. The Golden Dawn party have said the anti-fascists claim that they have been tortured in the Attica General lawyer police. Anarchists have been told us that they were tortured in the Attica General Police Directorate, GADA, the Athens equivalent of Scotland Yard, and is subjected to what their lawyer described. Of 25 were arrested after demonstrating in support of their fellow anti-fascists the next day. They said they were beaten and made to strip naked and bend over a wall in front of officers and other protesters inside the same police station. Several of the protesters arrested after the first demonstration on Sunday the 30th of September told The Guardian that they were slapped and hit by a police officer while five or six others watched, were spat on and used ashtrays because they stank, and were kept awake all night with torches and lasers being shone in their eyes. Some said that they were burned on the arms with a cigarette lighter, and they said police officers videoed them on their mobile phones and threatened to post the pictures on the internet and give their home addresses to Golden Dawn, which has a track record of political violence. Going to say about on another point on that one is that quite a lot of the police officers in Athens are members of Golden Dawn. It's been established as well.
Indeed, yeah, definitely. So it's a bit of a
Yeah,
it's a bit strange just this month that we're having a bit more of the mainstream sources, but there's a few things that were just worth mentioning that I could only find in, well, I could probably have found other places, but I only had the time to find them in the mainstream ones. But, yeah, from The Independent, the English Defence League are to become a political party and stand candidates in European elections, says Tommy Robinson. The far-right English Defence League will be turned into a political party in a bid to stand... and so they're hoping to do this within the next 2 years. And they're also they have plans to leave the British Freedom Party after only 5 months. Yes, and so this is also sort of hoping they want to transform the EDL from its current guise of a street movement to one of like sort of a political, more political party, political movement in the future, which is I don't know. Hopefully, could be seen as a victory that they've been scared off the streets, but. We'll see how it works out, I guess. And in a related story from the whatdothenow.com website, in response to Freedom of Information Act request regarding the barriers and expenditures for the July 14th EDL march and counter demo, a few bits of information from the police's response came about. So this is a letter that you can find on the What Do They Know website. And the police say, I write in connection to your request for the information dated the 17th of August concerning the mobile cordon wall, name of what the barriers were called, which I thought was quite quite a bit shocking. I guess shows a bit their sort of mindset, maybe. They're called, the barriers that were used on that day are called chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, CBRN, rolls off the tongue, barriers. And also, they're quite expensive. Each barrier cost £14,259 plus VAT. So the police don't actually own them. They sort of they get them from the Home Office. But so that's the kind of money that was, you know, it's one of the things that the money on that day was thrown around again. And it also reminds me of some of the graffiti that I saw before the march that said sort of St. Paul's Carnival was cancelled because of lack of funds, but yet they somehow found funds for, you know, to police EDL march and things as well. So just it's a bit of a priority issue, I guess, really. Yep.
And from The Guardian, a man who wore a homemade T-shirt containing the offensive anti-police sentiment in the immediate aftermath of the deaths of PC's Fiona Bone and Nicola Hughes has been jailed for a total of 8 months. He said that Thew had a long dispute with Greater Manchester Police over the death of his son 3 years ago and repeated stop-and-search procedures. He said the wearing of the T-shirt was not in response to the deaths of the two police officers, but was related to another case. He said he was already wearing the T-shirt when he heard the news.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting just to sort of look at the context, because he's been sort of portrayed as a bit of a yahoo in the media. Mm. And, you know, obviously, I mean, it's quite clear that The Guardian's got the story. It doesn't, you know, who knows how far they had to dig for it. But, I mean, like, it's quite known that he's, you know, if he's had potentially his son's been killed or there's something related to a police death, you know, to portray him just as a yahoo wearing a shirt, you know, is probably incorrect and inaccurate and quite misleading, and yet again shows why they're really bad at doing reporting.
Well, I was reading also in the Metro as well, because this was mentioned in the Metro just yesterday as well. There was also, they said that he was arrested for this 3 hours after the initial deaths happened, which means, did he actually know about it at the time? That's another question to say. So
indeed, or was this part of ongoing stop and search and harassment?
Exactly. I mean, only 3 hours after it happened, so I you know, to say that he already knew of it by that point.
Yeah, indeed. So so a bit longer than usual for news, but there, I guess we've just been away for a little while, so there's lots to update and talk about on for Radio Cabale and for listeners and things. I think next we're going to go to a song by Spanner called Crisis.
We're all in this together.
It's what British business. Motherfucker, something wrong with you. When the cheek just way too smart to question.
We have the put enemy the national interest first. We made the tough choices.
It's no good to say this was just a very small minority. It wasn't. There were quite a number of people who clearly were there wanting to pursue violence and to destroy property. Feel the full force of the law.
It's been a long time since anyone said no to you, hasn't it?
Sure.
Spanner, you can see them around Bristol quite often playing playing their hearts out, often at benefit gigs doing wicked stuff and things, playing great punk music, ska punk, so check them out whenever you get the chance. Lovely folks. So next we're going to go to an interview that we did with Dennis from the Bristol Animal Rights Collective about the Badger Call. So quite topical. Indeed, check it out. Okay, cool. So, hey, we're here today with Dennis. He's from the Bristol Animal Rights Collective. Hey.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Good.
Wicked. So, just to start off, Bark, we've talked with Bark a couple times on Radio Cabale, but just for folks who don't know, Bark is a super active, amazing collective based out of Cabale, and Bark is organized against Noah's Ark Zoo, promotes veganism with fantastic chocolate tasting evenings and all kinds of stuff. Has raised awareness about the Badger Call, done stalls in the centre, and much more as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So, and so we're going to talk a bit more about the Badger Call today, because that's sort of coming up and happening at the minute. And so there's been a lot of controversy relating to the Badger Call. The government and some farmers say it's necessary because from 2010 to 2011, 25,000 cattle were slaughtered, and the government paid out £91 million in compensation to farmers who'd lost cattle. And the reason this happened is because badgers are alleged to spread bovine tuberculosis. So can you tell us a bit more about the background and why the Badger Call's come about?
Well, I think the first thing that's really important to mention is that there has been a Badger Call, a pilot in the past, which scientifically was proved to have failed and didn't actually decrease the spread of bovine TB. And what, like, we believe, and a lot of the sort of animal rights slash welfare community sort of believes, is that the spread of bovine TB is actually increased by the farming practices of the dairy industry, so poor conditions, unsanitary conditions, which help spread it. And obviously the badgers are being used as a scapegoat because it's a more cost-effective measure of reducing the spread of the disease rather than looking into the actual practices and creating a more safer environment or a more clean environment for the cattle. So there's large farming lobbies, I mean, for example, the NFU, the National Farmers Union, and DEFRA, which are sort of pushing for this coal. And I think that's largely what it's to do with. It's, at the end of the day, it's the baseline capitalism and the profit margin, trying to increase the profit margin by creating the most cost-effective means of reducing that. So I think there has been scientific proof to say that it doesn't work, and we're seeing it happen again now because basically the farmers don't want to look at the facts and don't want to look at the problems they're causing.
Mm-hmm. So sort of changing practices, really, and sort of like improving the treatment of animals, if not, you know, ideally, I guess, according to Bark, like stopping eating meat altogether would also be great. But in the meantime, improving animal conditions and things.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, Bark's end game is the complete stop of animal exploitation, and that would include dairy farming and the consumption of meat. But the fact of the matter is that the farming industry works sort of like most capitalist businesses, that it wants the maximum amount of profit for the minimum amount of input. So if that means that treating the animals in a poor condition because they have to pay less and then they can sell the meat for more, then that works best for them. But if they have to suddenly improve the conditions and spend more money, then suddenly they're losing out because their profit margin is enlarged. But if they can cull the badgers, and that somehow makes them feel better and makes them feel like bovine TB isn't going to spread as much, then that, obviously that's beneficial for them, because farmers are just another capitalist business at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess we often see with animals they get pumped full of antibiotics and things as well, so that it decreases their chances of getting diseases while they're being basically farmed for people's consumption later. Mm. Yeah, it's a bit icky. And so the Badger Call would lead to 130,000 badgers being killed, and sort of all kinds of celebrities and some scientists have come out against it. And I was just wondering if you could talk a bit about some of the shortfalls of the government's scientific shortfalls of the government's policy.
Well, as I said earlier, there's already been a scientific study which proves that the Badger Call failed, and it won't help prevent the spread of bovine TB. Sort of a large part of what the NFU and DEFRA and all these organisations which are pushing for the Badger Call are claiming that they want to cull up to at least 70% of the badger population, which actually goes against the Berne Convention, which makes it illegal to cull badgers up to 70%, because that will lead to possible extinction. So what we're looking at is not just the wholesale slaughter of badgers in large numbers, but the possible extinction in some areas of badger populations. So obviously, Bristol Animal Rights Collective, we're vehemently opposed to this because we like to protect all animals.
No, because one thing I found interesting was David Attenborough, who's one of the celebrities who's come out against the badger cull. I just want to get this in there because I think it's a bit funny. He's had lots of concerns about population controls and population expansion, yet he's come out against the badger cull. So I found that quite funny because he's sort of really anti. He's sort of for human population controls, but anti-population controls for the badgers, which I was just like, he's not making some important connections, I guess.
I think that's sort of a problem in the wider sort of animal welfare. Even sometimes in the rights movement is this sort of single issue vision where people like to see animals as more important than humans. And I think that's part of what Bristol Animal Rights Collective likes to promote, is that it's all part of a wider web of oppression, which all link into each other. And we like to believe, me personally, maybe I can't speak for the wider group, that these all are connected and we need to combat them all at the same time, and we can't just focus on animals. Even though we are a group that focuses on the exploitation of animals, we see that it's all linked. And that, at the end of the day, I'd probably say David Attenborough is probably not a vegan, probably is a welfarist, and probably doesn't care about the liberation of animals. And I think he might be a Tory.
Well, those are some harsh words. Indeed, yeah, exactly. So he's, maybe not the badger's best friend necessarily, or our best friend in the end. Definitely not. And so it's the badger cull's also been challenged sort of on a policy basis, and I was sort of a bit interested when I was reading up about this a little bit. I don't know if you know, but if this is something you followed, because for various reasons, I'm sure. And so the badger cull was it was okayed by the UK High Court, but there's concerns, as you mentioned, that it would go against the Berne Convention, which is European legislation, the conservation laws, as you mentioned. And so the cull is set to commence quite soon, but the Berne Standing Committee is set to meet in November, although they have a bureau that's going to meet in a few months. So there's potential that the Standing Committee of this convention would find fault with what's going on here with relation to the badger cull, but unfortunately the badger cull is set to start before this committee meets. So do you know, do you have any comments on that, or any idea of how that's played out in the past, or how it might play out in the future? It's a bit of a complicated question.
One positive thing, the Badger Trust, which is sort of like a welfarist sort of organisation, has gone in for an appeal. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. The Badger Trust, which is sort of a welfarist organisation, is putting appeal in tomorrow, so that's September the 11th, to the High Courts against the Badger Cull, because there was a decision in July by the High Court, as you mentioned, to say that the cull was legal and could go ahead, but the Badger Trust has appealed this and they'll be in court tomorrow to again fight for the cull to be stopped. This decision could take a couple of weeks to go ahead. And one positive thing, I was reading Farmers Weekly today, which is a great source of information for everything related to the badger cull, even if they aren't not at all on side. I don't know what I'm saying, completely on side, but the enemies. It's nice to read the enemies' words sometimes. But an article that was posted quite recently states that because of the legal appeal and other sort of complications, that the badger cull might actually be pushed back until next year now. They're talking about how Natural England, which is the company which is responsible for handing out the licenses to the sharpshooters who will be killing badgers, are behind, basically they're not doing their job probably, and there may be a case that it gets pushed back to early 2013 when it was supposed to take place within the next couple of weeks. So we are looking at positive steps that could postpone and potentially halt the badger cull altogether.
that's good news then, really, for the Badgers and things, definitely. Wow, okay, so that's good. So there's hope still, and so we can wait to see how this all plays out and things. And it sounds like lots of different groups have come on side as well, like working together, because I saw on Bark's website that the Hunt Saboteurs are sort of also trying to raise awareness about this. And so it's really sort of been a big mobilization of people against the Badger Call, which sounds quite good, even though, unfortunately, it hasn't totally been stopped just yet, but it does sound like there's definitely slowing. There's some major problems and hurdles before it can actually go ahead anyways.
Yeah, I think there's definite hope to completely halt the Badger Call before it even starts. I mean, one of the things that we've been working closely with CBAG, which is the Coalition of Badger Action Groups, and one of the things they've been pushing for is to contact the farmers in the area where the call's happening, because one of the prerequisites for the call to go ahead is that at least like 70% of the land or some figure so close to that has to be, the farmers in that area have to agree to have the coal happen on their land. So if a certain amount of farmers drop out of the coal, then the coal will be cancelled altogether. So the dairy farmers are obviously the people who are largely in favour of the coal, and they're the people who are hardest to sort of convince not to have the coal on their land. But there's also the arable farmers who, say, have large fields of crop, and they actually own more land than the dairy farmers. So we've been working on like contacting them and telling them about the downsides of the coal, and basically they're being forced to pay by DEFRA for the coal to happen on their land, even though they aren't dairy farmers, it doesn't necessarily affect them. So like, we're trying to aim to get the arable farmers to drop the coal on their land, which could potentially halt the coal altogether. And as you said, the Hunt Saboteurs Association has actively encouraged its supporters to go out and sabotage the coal, which has happened in the past before and has been very effective and made the coal a lot more expensive, like when they were using cage trapping. So we're hoping that we're hoping that the coal doesn't go ahead, but if it does, we know there'll be a large amount of support, both from people on the streets and people out in the fields who will be actively opposing it.
Great, good stuff. And is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Just that if people want to find out more information about the Badger Call, they should check out Badger Killers, which is badger-killers.co.uk, and that's the website for CBAG, which is the Coalition of Badger Action Group. They'll be posting information about the Badger Call and however to oppose it. Also, Bristol Animal Rights Collective will be opposing it in whatever way we can. You can visit our website, bristolanimalrights.org.uk, and we meet every fortnight at Cabelli on a Wednesday. You can see when that is on the website, or you can email us at bark@hotmail.co.uk.
Wicked. Thanks a lot.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye. So now we're going to go to a song by Kilnaboy called Red Alert.
Okay, this next one's for the BNP. We wish them a slow, painful
If you want to join in, then you can.
this waste of life? Say the times are changing, or are they just the same? The things your heroes fought for are coming round again.
So that was Killing the Boy. Also, not from Bristol, but from relatively localish, close by and things. Also, lovely fellows, lovely folks, Killing the Boy. So, Arcadis Punks, would you like to introduce the next bit?
So, I went to London on the 23rd of September because there had been a solidarity call-out made by both members of the Anarchist Federation and the Anarchist Black Cross in London. There was a call out to have a solidarity demonstration for six Belarusian anarchist prisoners who are currently detained by the president. Despite calls by a lot of organisations, the president hasn't released any of them except for one, who he has given a pardon to in recent times, we've just learnt. So anyway, I went down there to have a little chat with them, and this is what they had to say.
We're here outside the Belarusian embassy, which is taking votes from Belarusians who are in London at the moment. On September the 23rd, the Republic of Belarus will hold parliamentary elections. It's an event that is on everyone's mind, but for all the wrong reasons. The Belarusian parliament is an illusion, with the decisions being made solely by the president. The upcoming elections appear only to be of importance to Lukashenko, as most Belarusians have given up hoping for any real changes in the country's politics. While Lukashenko is following all of the democratic procedures in an attempt to legitimise his presidency, the country prisons are still holding political prisoners. Opponents of Lukashenko's power are at some time in their activist life became too dangerous to the regime, are now being held in campus where they are subjected to constant harassment. Even though they have only been charged with minor offences, they are being treated as dangerous criminals. Political prisoners are being denied their right to see family members and receive food parcels, and are often being put into solitary confinement. At the same time, prison guards are attempting to turn other inmates against them, as commonly done during the USSR. Lukashenko has tried to use the imprisonment of political activists to get on the good side of the USA and the EU. However, neither the United States nor European Union want anything to do with the president until the political prisoners are released. As a result of this, we ask you to add your voice to our plea to free all political prisoners in Belarus. Let the Belarusian embassy in London know about the displeasure with the current situation. Practice civil disobedience. If you are a Belarusian citizen, spoil your ballot paper with messages demanding the release of all political prisoners. Protest and show your solidarity with political prisoners in Belarus. Lukashenko must know that not only the Western leaders are unhappy with the country's politics, but also ordinary people around the world.
Thank you very much.
So now we're going to go to a song by King Blues called Hang the Landlord.
Strictly speaking, I was four foot tall with a 3 foot
the Mohicans. My bum's all swollen for some tattooing. The great bomb for life on my arm with a safety pin. I was sleeping in a park and selling the big issue. But this ain't no sob stories, I don't reach for the tissue. Cause these Spanish punks, they took me under their wing. Opened the squat and clap and come and they let me move in. This place was f***ing huge, I couldn't believe my luck. But it was no stranger to the odd rock. I was sharing a room with this bloke called Jeff. He had rotten teeth and the world's worst breath. But we had such a time clapping up all the walls. Day trips are bright and when the occasion called. Drinking red wine and coke, playing our music loud. On a shitty old tape player we sung it proud. We used to sing. If we had the landlord from the top of the stairs, we can live it forever without care. So let's hang the landlord from the top of the stairs. We'll live like a millionaire. Like a millionaire. We looked out for each other as a group, we were tight. All coppers up. But we were alright, painting our leather jackets, soaking up our hair. We look like aliens out of anywhere. If the tourists wanted a photo, we would charge them a pound. When we had enough, we'd buy a bottle and pass it around. A bag of cheap glue, we both stick fix and fix. And whatever we could find, we're thrown into the mix. We used to sing. If we had the landlord from the top of the stairs, we can live it forever without care. So let's hang the landlord from the top of the stairs. We'll live like a millionaire. Like a millionaire. A couple years ago, the tramps in Piccadilly told me Aaron had died. My head spun around till I sat on the curb and cried. And I found myself sitting on Puffs begging Patch. Well, I had seen him around, I prayed didn't lose the match. Now Al's in prison and he was the sensible one. Don't let the bastards grind you down, mate, our time ain't begun. Don't let the screws get in your head and f*** you up. Cause when you get out, we'll string that landlord up. If we had the landlord from the top of the stairs, we could live it forever without care. So let's hang the landlord from the top of the stairs, and we'll live like a millionaire. Like a millionaire.
Great, that was a wicked song by King Blues. They're not quite so local as far as I know, but they seem like lovely folks as well. And so next we're going to go to an interview about the occupation, the squatting in Cardiff, so check it out.
Gremlins. Never, never let them eat after midnight. Because when they do, they change.
Rafe.
They become clever, mischievous.
What's going on here?
And dangerous.
Gremlins, eh? Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of them.
Well, I don't know, maybe thousands.
I've been here too. What are these things? Where do they come from?
Look, I know it sounds crazy, I know. But in a few hours, you're gonna have a major disaster on your hands.
Gremlins. They'll be expecting you underneath.
And, so next we're going to go to a song by Immortal Technique called Point of No Return. And Immortal Technique, I can't remember exactly when, but he's going to be playing in Bristol coming up soon, so check it out.
Yeah.
it's that real this time around. Immortal Technique, Revolutionary Volume 2. It's on now, motherfucker. Lock and load. This is the point of no return, I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. But fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfuckers made me out of self-righteous hatred, and now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, you not ready. This is the point of no return and nobody can stop it. Malcolm Little when he knelt before Elijah Muhammad. The comet that killed the dinosaurs changing the earth. They love to criticize, they always say I change for the worse. Like prescription pills when you misusing them, nigga. The Templar Knights when they took Jerusalem, nigga, and figured out what was buried under Solomon's temple. Al-Aqsa, the name is not coincidental. I know too much, the government is trying to murder me. No coming back, like cutting your wrists open vertically. How could the serpent be purposely put in charge of the country? Genetic engineered sickness spread amongst me. My people are so hungry that they attack without reason, like a fucking dog ripping off the hand that feeds them. Immortal Technique is treason to the Patriot Act. So come and get me, motherfucker, cause I'm not coming back. This is the point from which I can never return, and if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat, cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before, cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore. This is the point of no return, nigga, you better believe this. Mary Magdalene giving birth to the children of Jesus. The evolution of the world, bloody and dramatic. Human beings killing monkeys to conquer the planet. The kingdoms of Africa and Mesopotamia, machine gun in your body with depleted uranium. This is the age of microchips and titanium. The dark side of the moon and contact with aliens. I started out like Australians, criminal minded, broke into hell, tore it down and built a city behind it. Southpaw, murderous methodology, nigga. Remember that I'm just a man, don't follow me, nigga. Cause once you pass the point, you can never go home. You gotta face the possibility of dying alone. So tell me, motherfucker, how could you die for the throne when you don't even got the fucking heart to die for your own? It rains acid, one day the earth will cry from a stone, and you'll be looking at the world living inside of a dome. Computerized humanity living inside of a clone. This is the place where the unknown is living and real. Wormwood, the planet X and the seventh seal. Universal truth is not measured in mass appeal. This is the last time that I kneel and pray to the sky, cause almost everything that I was ever told was a lie. This is the point from which I can never return, and if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat, cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before, cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, great. So that was Immortal Technique. So now we're going to go to upcoming events. Great. So upcoming events, things are happening to check out. Be there, be square. November 1st, Drowning Dog and DJ Malatesta will be playing at the Plow. Definitely don't want to be missing that one. On October 27th, The Coup are playing at the Trinity. Whoa, definitely do not miss that. And on October 24th, there's a Pussy Riot benefit gig. There's going to be a bunch of cool bands playing, the Shondas, Muff Zed, Crash Paris, and also following that there's going to be DJ Freudian Slit, a Bristol pop-off DJ who plays super fun shambolic indie disco for people who like to dance, and it's £5 on the door. And who doesn't like to dance? Well, hopefully no one. Cool.
Also, just before we go, there's also going to be a demonstration held outside the Malcolm X Centre. basically the Bristol Feminist Network have called for a demonstration outside the Malcolm X Centre in response to the fact that the Malcolm X Centre will be hosting George Galloway, who has in recent times been known for his rather shameful remarks regarding rape. Obviously, a lot of people are really obviously upset about what he has said. He has not gone back on his word about this as well. He's even going so far as to sue the National Union of Students for libel now.
Well,
it's getting quite serious now because obviously a lot of people are upset about this, and he still won't obviously go back on what he said at all. So, 7:30 outside the Malcolm X Centre in Bristol. Yes, hopefully there'll be many people down there anyway to share their opinions about what George Galloway has said. And
yeah,
hopefully he should be held accountable for this. I mean, the fact that the Respect Party are still using this person, you know, as a key speaker in a place like Bristol is quite surprising to me. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in any city, anywhere,
yeah.
it's entirely shocking, and what he said was pretty outrageous.
It was completely outrageous, yeah.
Out of order, as they say.
Yeah.
Great, so that's it for Radio Cabaret this month. Check us out next month. Keep your eyes peeled for stuff that's going on. Let us know if you're interested or want to volunteer or have any feedback. Just drop us a line at radiocabaret@riseup.net. That's all.
Well, I was going to say, if I can do it, so can you, so.
He's fantastic. Fan mail for Achilles Punks, please. Fan club, we might have to start.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, cheers.
Bye.